There's not really going to be one set text tonight, but there's going to be a couple different places that I'll tell you to turn to. Christmas is in a couple days, in case you didn't know. Now is the time to start shopping. Obviously, Christmas is when we remember when Jesus came and he was born. But because he was the Son of God, we have to think about why. We can't really start to think about him being born without understanding why he was born, or at least recognizing why he was born. And that was for the redemption of mankind. That was for our salvation and to free us from our sin. And so the sermon tonight is going to start in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God saw everything that he had. This is not like verse by verse. This is just, I've picked out a few verses that go together. So in case you're following along, like, you're going to be like, he's reading out of a different Bible. Verse 2 is different. No, I'm not. It's just a different verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the woman said, and the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I don't understand everything about that last verse. I don't understand how sin passed from Adam to all of us, or I don't understand how death passed on all of us exactly, because when you think about it, it's hard to understand. But I do know that I personally have sinned. And just like Adam, I have chosen my own pleasures above obedience and above a relationship with God. Instead of being able to fellowship with God, I have chosen to fulfill my own desires. And that's exactly what Adam did. And I don't know how sin passed from Adam to all men, but I know that from the time between Adam and Jesus, we read about all kinds of people. And I know that they were all sinners. just like you and me. Every one of them was bound by death, which had passed to all men. And every one of them was waiting for a savior, for someone who would restore them to a loving, righteous, forgiving, yet holy and just God. Saul and Solomon, Abraham, Noah, David, and Moses all needed someone to pay for their sins, exactly like we do. And God promised that a Messiah would come, that a Savior would come. And he gave them pictures in the temple and the sacrifices and the priesthood and everything. They were all promises that a sacrifice would be made. One day mankind would be cleansed from their sins. And for thousands of years, people lived in the hope and expectation of that Redeemer. For the thousands of years between Adam and Jesus, God sent prophets. He sent them to mankind through the nation of Israel. And these prophets spoke of the Christ. And Christ means anointed one. They spoke of the Messiah, or the King. And they spoke of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Remember in the garden, God came to spend time with Adam every day in the cool of the day. But after Adam sinned and he chose his own desires over a fellowship with God, that fellowship was broken and God did not come to spend time with Adam anymore. But it was promised that God would come and dwell with us again. He had not left us to die without him, and he would restore us to fellowship with him. God sent the prophets to proclaim that Emmanuel is coming. Your Messiah is coming. And a sacrifice is coming that will cover your sins. There was this expectation that one day that the King of creation would come and would redeem all of his people to himself. Now, one of the most notable prophets who prophesied about this was Isaiah. And he prophesied specifically about Israel's role in God's plan for humanity. But he also prophesied about God's plan for redemption for the whole world and not just for Israel. Isaiah said, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee." Through the prophets, God promised that he would come for his people. And finally, after thousands of years, the King of creation, the Messiah, was born. Look at Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now look at Luke 2, verses 8 through 11. Luke chapter 2. These are two accounts of Jesus' birth. but they work together, telling them from different perspectives. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God did not leave us. He had not forgotten about us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Emmanuel dwelt among us, and he lived as a man, and we know his name as Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Jesus lived his life in perfect submission to the Father. When the first Adam failed to love the Father, the last Adam succeeded. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. When we could not go be with God, he came to be with us. Christ sacrificed his position as the King of creation. He is our Messiah. He gave that position up to come and be like us, a frail human. He was Emmanuel, and we despised him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The King of all glory humbled himself, and the Creator gave himself into the hands of his creation, and they beat him, and they mocked him. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us, whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. The high priest is telling him, tell us who you are. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? The word Christ means anointed. Christ was the determined sacrifice. It was determined by God that Christ would be the sacrifice that would be enough to pay for our sins. And they mocked him by it. Look at John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Jesus was unjustly condemned. They condemned him for sedition, for encouraging people to rise up against the government. He was unjustly condemned, but he was not forced to die. And he made that abundantly clear to Pilate, that he was crucified of his own accord, because it was the will of the Father. Look back in John 19, verse 6. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate saith unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus could have come down from the cross. The crowd mocked him. When he was crucified, they mocked him and they challenged him to do that. They said, If you are who you say you are, come down. But because he was who he said he was, he did not. He stayed on the cross because he knew if he came down, I would have to pay for my sins. And I can never do that. He suffered for me. He chose to endure the pain of the cross, and he chose to endure God turning his back on him so that I would not have to. Christ did that for you. He could have showed the crowd his glory, the people who mocked him and beat him. He was the king of creation, and he was crowned with thorns. He had all power, and he allowed them to nail him to a tree. He was the anointed sacrifice. He was the one who would pay for their sins, and they rejected him. And he could have shown them who he was. He could have had a host of angels come and kill everybody there, and he would have been completely just to do so, because that's what they deserved, and that's what we deserve. But he didn't. And as they hammered the nails into his hands, he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now look at John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. And Jesus drank the bitter cup that his father had for him, didn't he? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Messiah, the King of all of creation, died nailed to a tree. He was surrounded by those that he came to save. And as they mocked him, and as they beat him, and as they watched the blood flow from his body, he looked on them lovingly. He died for the people who killed him. But death could not keep his prey. I want you to look at John 10 really quick. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." That's us, the people who were not there. We were not of his fold, but he had to bring us into his fold. "Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him." Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she went, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus' sheep heard his voice and knew him, and he knew his sheep. No man took his life from him, but he laid it down, and he had power to take it again. And he brought his sheep into his fold. Jesus is calling your name, just like the verse said. Other sheep he had that were not in his fold, but he had to bring them into his fold. That's us. He's still calling your name. You belong to him because he bought you. He wants you. You are his. Look at Matthew 28. Verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door that sat upon it. His countenance was like unto lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Jesus was mocked as the Messiah. And remember, the Romans made the crown, and they crowned him. They said, All hail, and they beat him. Jesus said, All hail, and he was victorious. One day, our victorious Messiah will return. For the sheep that are in his fold, he'll bring them. Just a few more passages for tonight. Look at Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 9 says, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now look at chapter 22, verse 1. This is talking about the same angel. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus being born, yes. But it's about much, much more than that. It's not just another baby who was born. If it was, who cares? Our pastor has like a gazillion of them. Christmas is about the beginning of God's plan for the redemption of mankind. When we cannot go be with God, God came to us. And the plan that he had to pay for our sins began one night in a manger when the perfect Lamb of God, the Messiah, was born and laid in a manger.